Welcome back, or welcome to Tech Talks with Kathy Simpson. It's always a great day when we're recording a podcast and learning about something that's happening here in Atlantic Canada. And I'm excited today to introduce you to Calvino Anderson. Calvino is based out of Halifax. He's very engaged, and I would call him a community builder. He works at CompuGen, and we'll get him to tell us a little bit about the work that he does there, while then we'll pivot and we'll focus more of our conversation about his role as the founder and organizer of the Atlantic Tech Summit. And it's exciting to be going back to some face-to-face summits and networking events. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and welcome to the podcast, Calvino.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Thank you very much for having me. Exciting.
So tell me, where are you this morning? Where are you calling in from?
I am in my office / garage / man cave, and it's where I spend most of my time chatting to people, and in Halifax, Nova Scotia. So,
how long have you been in Halifax, Calvino?
Halifax, so that's a good question. Halifax has been since 2010. Moved to Nova Scotia, though, in 2008. And when I first moved here, I actually moved down to Digby area. So I was down there for a couple of years and just found I was in Halifax all the time. So here I am, and been here ever since.
And prior to 2010, tell us where you grew up, where you went to school, university. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, no. Born and raised in Bournemouth in the UK, and spent my early adulthood there till I was 25 when I moved to Canada in 2005. Went to school in Bournemouth University, and really kind of grew from there. Most of my background has been very kind of entrepreneurial, business, B2B focused, business growth. Had my first business at 17, grew that up. We sold it at nine when I was 19. Thought that starting a business was easy because that bit, first one went really easy.
What kind of business did you have?
We were a telco reseller. We were the first B2B telco reseller in the Dorset region. So that was pretty exciting.
Oh, that's neat.
It was good, and we sold to a national partner who came in and said they were going to open up next door to us. So, you know, do we want to compete with them, or they would continue supporting us, or they could buy us? So we tapped out and said, fair enough.
Oh, that's really fun. Yeah. So what'd you take at school?
Business. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why Canada?
Why Canada? So it was a woman originally.
Oh, okay.
I met a Canadian girl traveling in the UK, and she was from BC, and I came over and visited a few times. She came over here. And it seemed like a good idea to move to Canada. Canada was obviously a great country, lots of opportunity. I liked the culture, and the rest is history, so to speak.
So I have to ask, why did you end up settling in Atlantic Canada? This is your chance to give a really good plug for the region.
Absolutely. So I didn't really settle fully in British Columbia is the answer to that. Beautiful province, spectacular scenery. There was a couple of things. The first thing was an 8-hour time difference to the UK is big. So if you don't speak to your friends and your family in the morning, you're not going to speak to them. So that I struggled with a little bit. And then where I was living in BC, it was in the mountains. So it was Revelstoke, beautiful, beautiful spot. But you get really snowed in the winter, like 17 feet of snow, a lot of driving to Vancouver and Calgary all the time. So when I did some research and I found that a lot of expats really loved the East Coast, came out to Nova Scotia, explored a little bit, and I thought this is like perfect on the Eastern Seaboard, much closer to Europe, more relaxed way of life. I liked the culture. It was a bit more kind of relatable to the UK culture.
Sure.
And it was just a natural fit. And, I was probably one of the first, because people thought I was crazy at the time. I moved down to Digby. I was working for a software company remotely, so I was working out of my house, and this was 2008. So it was before a lot of people were doing it, and now we're all doing it. But
yeah, back in 2008, there were certainly people who were working one day a week at home or something like that. That little bit of flexibility, but we wouldn't say, I'm working for a software company and I'm based out of Digby and I work in my house 5 days a week. Not even 2008, people weren't.
Exactly.
Doing that very often.
It was
look how much things have changed.
It's amazing. It's amazing, and it's great to see, because with the small towns and the the just vast amount of beautiful areas that Atlantic Canada has, there's lots of opportunity for people to come here, have a great lifestyle, work for almost anybody they want to, and contribute to the local community and enjoy what Atlantic Canada has. It's, to me, it was always an obvious kind of win-win situation.
So you've been at CompuGen for a while now.
Yeah, it's approaching 4.5 years. Yeah, it's gone really quick.
And first let's talk about who is CompuGen?
Yeah. So we're the largest privately owned IT solutions integrator in Canada. So we were founded over 40 years ago by a man called Harry Zarek. He is still the sole owner and president and CEO of the company. Very, very hands-on in the business. And he has literally taken this company and grown it to be 1,500 people coast to coast, with a very family, community-first feel in the organization. So even though we've grown to be a big organization, every region has a very strong local focus. We're a very flat organization. We maintain a lot of ability to be very nimble, whilst providing, you know, a very high quality of services and a depth of expertise that other people don't have.
Tell us about your role at CompuGen in Halifax.
Yeah, so I'm the sales leader for Atlantic Canada, and my role when I was hired was to come in and reestablish the brand for CompuGen in the region and build the business. So the journey I've been on in the last 4.5 years has really been ground up, building our brand in Atlantic Canada, reestablishing who we are, and getting to know a lot of the organizations here, and obviously getting to tell our story.
And do you have delivery resources in the region as well?
Yes, we do. We actually have over 50 resources now in Atlantic Canada, spread across the region. We support approximately, I think the last count I did was 1,500 independent locations. We have a lot of contracts that are national contracts with Petro-Canada's and National Bank and BDO, people like that. But we've also got a strong local footprint. So we've got 2 service delivery managers, 2 inside sales reps actually in New Brunswick. We have an account executive now. She's based in New Brunswick. She takes care of New Brunswick and PEI. We have an endpoint specialist in Newfoundland. It's really quite a good growing team.
And for people who don't know what a solution integrator is, do you want to give us the Coles Notes version of what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So really we help organizations with any part of their technology infrastructure. So it could be as simple as, hey, we want to buy some new servers or laptops or network gear. That's kind of the traditional reseller role, but it evolves through a series of kind of value-added pieces we can add on top, which could be anything from selling it, helping them to deploy it, helping them to architect the solution, helping them to do some IT technology roadmapping. How does this fit into an overall digital strategy? Is it enabling the business to grow, or is it just a transactional piece? So we can do all of the pieces in between, right through to, I want somebody to just manage this and take it off my plate. So we can do the whole full suite of services, I guess.
Any specific technologies that you tend to specialize in more than others?
There are definitely trends. We've got kind of our Super 7 partners, I guess, if you like. So Microsoft are a big one. Sure. We're a Microsoft LSP. We're a big Apple partner. So we were the first IT company in Canada to be Apple Enterprise certified. So if you've got an iOS or a Mac environment, we can actually come in and help support those. You know, we partner with HPE, HPI, Lenovo, Dell, big Citrix partner. So there's a lot of strength and depth there. It varies a little bit region to region because certain regions are, they've had bigger presences from different manufacturers over the years, so they've got a density of one technology over another. I would say the really good thing about us, over 1,000 people in our organization hold technical certs. So if a customer says, hey, can you help me with this? We've got almost certainly got some expertise around it. But because we're broad, our people also are not just going to say, hey, that's the right solution for you. They can look at it kind of independently of being persuaded one way or another. We know all the tool sets in this particular niche, in this bucket. We can help you identify, is that the right one for you, or should you be looking over here for some reason?
So I totally understand that model. And it's exciting that you've got growth happening here in Atlantic Canada through the pandemic and everything else. Tell me a little bit about how a guy with a business degree ends up in sales for a tech company. I did it myself. Our journeys might be similar or different, but obviously you've been in the tech sector a long time. Tell us how you got there.
Yeah, for me, I think my passion is just helping businesses grow and helping drive growth and enable growth. And it was always had a fascination with entrepreneurship and how businesses operate their processes and the complexities and the decision-making that goes on behind the doors sometimes and why they make certain decisions. So really every role I've ever had, whether it's been for myself or an employer, has been kind of around that in some way. That kind of comes into sales. Sales is a natural part of that. But it's also around, you know, learning to understand businesses, learning to understand they might be asking you for this, but there's a reason why. So trying to understand why are they asking for that? What's happening behind the scenes that they haven't shared yet? And then digging deeper, trying to add some value in there if you can. You can't always, but that's kind of my passion and why I've gone into this route. And I mean, from a technology perspective, for a long time, it was so underutilized by a lot of businesses.
Sure.
And it was just seen as a cost. And it was, well, why do we want to invest in this software platform or this tool? It's just as good as what we've got. We're okay. They didn't realize the benefits. I think now we've kind of turned that corner where the majority of organizations, there's still some holdouts out there, but the majority understand that investing in technology is critical for their success. It can help them be more competitive regionally, globally. And the way that technology has developed and gone, it's now the small businesses, which we have so many of in the region, that are doing great things sometimes, can actually leverage those technologies to punch way above their weight and add real value and grow faster.
And I think the pandemic showed us that we are moving from, you know, the high users and larger organizations down to the medium and small businesses, that technology was crucial during the pandemic.
Exactly. Even government. I mean, look how quickly some of our governments, who are notoriously slow to make changes, they had to roll out Teams quickly. They had to pivot to, and they did it. They proved they can do it. So there's a foundation there that hopefully can continue to be leveraged.
Well, we hope CompuGen continues to have success here in the region. So we're going to talk about the Atlantic Tech Summit. And wanted to talk back to, you started this a number of years ago. What got that itch of you wanted to get a tech summit going in Atlantic Canada?
Yeah, it's interesting. It kind of just happened, to be honest with you. It wasn't kind of an initial plan or an idea of let's do this. It really started probably 4 years prior to the first tech summit, where myself and two other individuals from the local tech community in Halifax, we decided to grab a beer after work. We all worked for different companies, and we were just going to chat about what was happening in the community. And that was so good that I said, we should do this kind of on a cadence every kind of 6-7 weeks or so. So I started the Halifax IT Technology Meetup Group. And up to just before the pandemic, we were about 1,300 members in and around Halifax and meeting every 8 weeks. And we'd just bring a speaker in. Could be from any organization on any topic. For an hour, we met in the basement of the Split Crow in Halifax, and everyone was welcome. And we just had a good interactive conversation with that speaker or that panel. And then that grew, and we did that for about 4 years. And the interest just seemed to be there to make it a full day event. So it's like, let's try a full day event. Again, completely independent of any organization, just welcome the whole community together. We've got a committee of volunteers that kind of come to collaborate and talk about what should the theme be this year, who are good speakers locally. We try to partner with, you know, the different regional tech organizations, because every region's got a slightly different kind of perspective and spin, and just kind of bring it together. And that's what happened. And the first year was a great success, like over 300 people in person in year one, which we were like, whoa, this, maybe there's something here. So, and then the pandemic hit.
And how did you pivot during the pandemic? Because I know you did, and you continued on.
Yeah, we did. We hesitated, to be honest with you. We thought about it, but we felt it was important to kind of keep the brand going and keep the name out there. So we went virtual. We invested in a virtual platform, and we did some research. We looked at a few. But we found one that we felt had a really strong attendee engagement piece. And we just dove into the virtual world. So we did two back-to-back virtual. And I think it was probably good for us in the sense that it allowed a broader range of people from different places to participate easily. I think it was a net benefit, even though we obviously missed that face-to-face piece.
So talk to our listeners about what's coming up this year, because it's right around the corner, less than a month away.
It is November the 16th. It's coming quick. So this year the theme is digital acceleration, and it's back in Halifax. We're back at the Cineplex at Park Lane, Halifax. So a great location. We've got some really kind of key highlights, I would say. You know, we've invested for the first time in bringing paid speakers in as part of the event, like some top talent. We've got CBC's Dragon Den and tech entrepreneur Michelle Romanoff coming. She's going to be doing a fireside chat. We've got a keynote by RBC's chief data officer on how they've led digital transformation and how you can create an effective data management strategy. We've got our CIO panel, which is really, really strong, with some top CIOs from some of the region's largest, mostly public sector organizations this year. And there's just a range of great topics being covered, from ethics, diversity, to cybersecurity. We've actually got one that I'm personally excited about is quantum computing. There's actually practical applications for quantum computing now in business. We've heard the term for years. It sounds wonderful. It's going to change the world. It's going to change a lot of things, but what hasn't meant anything for a long time to a lot of people. And there's actually a gentleman here based in Halifax who works for a US company that they are quantum computing specialists, and they have some practical applications. So we've got a wide range of talent, talented speakers and panelists. There's a career fair. There's going to be a lot of networking opportunities, and obviously it's back face-to-face in person with a hybrid option. So we still have the virtual tickets available for those that either can't make it for the full day, or if they're up in, you know, Newfoundland or Northern New Brunswick or PEI, they can still join in the fun.
How did you land on digital acceleration as being your theme?
It was as part of our committee. We were kind of discussing it and sharing ideas, and it was put forward. And it felt right. And I think kind of we all agreed that the one thing we've seen is the pace of change is ever increasing. Mm-hmm. And how do you manage that as a business owner, as a business leader, as an IT leader? And it's not just the technology change, because that's one bit where technologies are always changing. And do you need the latest and greatest, and how do you choose? But there's the human element of it as well, with, you know, the changing needs that we have socially to ensure that we are inclusive and we are making ethical decisions. And if you're a big organization, you know, often you can hire a team of people to put policies and governance in place and education. But if you're a smaller business, like we have a lot of, that often falls on the shoulders of one, maybe two people. So how do you understand what you should be doing, what you should be thinking about, and keep on top of that? And it just felt like the right, after everything we've been through in the last couple of years, it felt like the right theme.
So, I mean, I think it's a marvelous theme. A lot of the work that Tech Impact that we did during the pandemic was delivering two programs called Digital Boost 1 and Digital Boost 2. And it was working with small and medium businesses primarily around building digital strategies and roadmaps and having companies in Atlantic Canada do that work. And they can sometimes get so focused on the tech, they forget this is about driving their business forward, and tech is the enabler.
Right.
So when you bring people together like that, I know I've organized events in the past, like the Big Data Congress here that we had here in St. John for about 3 years. And then that event happened in Halifax as well.
Yeah.
It's how are you trying to bring those businesses to that day so that they feel like they belong and they can learn and be part of that ecosystem? It's so important and such a challenge I've found in the past. How about you?
It is a challenge. And I think it's always maybe the most nerve-wracking piece of putting an event on from my perspective. You put all this stuff together and is anyone going to show up?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, we do it by trying to just continue talking about it, promote it through our networks, talk about it in the community. You know, obviously there's paid advertising and press releases and all the usual kind of jazz you can do there. But really by talking about it, engaging with the community, and sometimes these leaders also have things that they want to talk about themselves. So getting
Sure.
them involved in the conversation as well, what would you like to hear at a conference? So we've done surveys in the past, yeah.
I've looked at the agenda. You've got this nice mix of tech streams and then these mix of, more business streams. And I'm sure that's deliberate. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because one of the things we found, well, a few things that we found is the first one is if you're a CIO or a CTO or a VP of IT, you might have a technical background, but you're generally leaning more towards what's good for the business. So the business conversations need to be important, are important to you. And the same for some of the small business owners as well. You know, sometimes they'll outsource stuff, but they're focused on kind of the business initiative mostly. At the same time, there's a lot of tech workers in Halifax. There are people that are, you know, the geeks that keep everything going for us and the DevOps people, and they do want to drill down into you know, the nitty-gritty of different technologies and why things are done a certain way. So we've got the technical separate kind of technical track for them. Now at any point people can jump and switch. So if there's one here, so
Absolutely.
they can walk through and change. So that's great. But yeah, definitely we tried to bring both sets of people together because we think there is crossover and there is opportunity to learn and share information. And maybe a business owner or a CIO is thinking, well, I am curious about how that works or what this company's doing. So maybe he'll pop over for one and go back for another one, right?
Sure. Talk to me about when you have that mix. You have this really great variety of content, and that's what attracts people to come. They can get a mix of that both. Tell me what you hope that those who are attending the summit, what do you hope they'll take away? And how will you know you've achieved your success that you and your entire team are hoping to achieve?
Yeah. You know, I think we always do a post-event survey, and but you also get a feeling. You can feel the energy when the event's good. So I think, you know, if people can take away the fact that we have a lot of great people here in the region, we have a lot of great companies that are interested in the region, and there's a lot that of the company, a lot of technology and methodologies and ways of doing things that companies here can leverage to help them grow, whether it's locally or whether they're looking to explode out of the region. And we've got great companies that have done that. I just wanted to feel, you know, connected and hear some of those stories,
Great.
learn from some of these people, and you know, hopefully take that buzz and energy that they'll get on the day forward, you know, into the new year.
Did I hear you say there's a career fair? So if you want to be recruiting at this event, can I set up a booth or have a spot?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a career fair. There's a virtual and physical component to it. Last year, to give you an idea, one of our sponsors had over 600 applications that they attributed directly to this event.
The
So,
summit.
you know, we encourage people if you're looking to hire a small number or a large number of people, just being visible. We do get technology students as part of the event as well. Obviously, we've got some great
Sure.
schools around town. Or it could be somebody that's a worker somewhere looking for their next role, just looking at who's hiring, who's investing in Atlantic Canada. So, and obviously the talent pool is spread out as we touched on earlier now. So this is a great kind of way to bring them together a bit, give yourself some exposure. You can have a booth there in the career fair. That's no problem at all. And you can have the virtual component where you can actually advertise jobs, engage directly with attendees on the app, or you can still just do it face to face. But
Tell me your thoughts on this. We're starting to get together face to face again. It feels good. I was attending an experiential learning gala event for universities, colleges, and organizations that are doing a lot to get students engaged and teachers engaged and professors engaged. And when you get together like that, you forget the value of networking. You forget the energy it takes to do it face to face too,
it's true.
by the way. But could you make a statement that talks a little bit about how important it is to bring people together in this tech workforce and business community and the role that networking at an event like yours plays?
Yeah, it's an interesting point because it's I think we surprised ourselves as a society, like how fast and easily we transition to digital and virtual. And that led to increases in productivity, which is fantastic. But you need that human-to-human interaction. There's some things that are just so much better. There's so much more communication. There's that social energy that you get. So it's critical to help us as a region and as a community to see each other and be around each other. And you share so much more and you feel more together, which is one of the great things about Atlantic Canada, right? It's the people and the culture, and it's built by being together and those events that bring everybody together and create that energy. So from my perspective, I think it's critical that we keep doing that. These are great tools that we've got now that we should continue to leverage, but you can't replace that human to human, face to face interaction.
So as we finish off here, the tech sector and the tech workforce is certainly growing. It grew throughout the pandemic. I know there's some uncertainty thinking about a looming recession and what that looks like. We just did some surveys and there's no slowdown in hiring overall right now in the market. But things are booming in Atlantic Canada in the tech sector. You're feeling it in Halifax. I'm feeling it in Halifax. I'm feeling it in New Brunswick when I'm out and about. Newfoundland just had a great tech week. Yeah. TechNL led a bunch of activity over there. It was awesome to see all of the social posts they were putting out about it. Why is it a good time to move to Atlantic Canada or be in Atlantic Canada and work in this sector?
It's a combination of so many things. If somebody's making a decision to look at moving here, you've got everything here you need, combined with such a great lifestyle and such a great community, and you've got great companies just investing here. They see the potential with the schools and the infrastructure that's been put in place. When I first moved here, it was like the narrative was a little bit like, we've got an aging population, it's a shrinking population, it's very dependent on the fisheries. It's, if they ever go, then we're all in trouble, right? That was kind of the general kind of underlying.
Sure.
It's totally changed. It's this one of, investment in the community that obviously the governments and the organizations have made, building up. And we were talking before, it's the development that's going on across the region with the number of people coming here. They're seeing that potential. And it's just technology enables a lot of that, but also the will and desire of the community enables a lot of that with the investments and the focus on it. And it's just gonna pay off dividends for decades to come with the talent that's being developed here, the companies that are being developed here. Those people are gonna go and spread out to other places, whether it's from a business perspective or as individuals. And I think Atlantic Canada is set to just be the hub of the East Coast. It is already, right? But it's going to just keep growing, growing and growing. And I never understood coming when I came here as a British guy. I'm like, why is everyone in Toronto? Like, why wouldn't they have come here first? I mean, mm-hmm. They did, but then they suddenly moved to Toronto. But like, why? It didn't make sense to me because it's so such a beautiful spot.
And now we've got record immigration numbers and record numbers of other people, Canadians and non-Canadians, moving from other parts of Canada to Atlantic Canada. And I know the work that I do and the work that you're doing through this summit is letting them know about these opportunities that are here. We want them here. We need them here. Yeah. It's all part of that mix. When you're pulling together a conference like this, diversity is important.
It is.
I spoke at the conference last year and got to speak on with the panel with one of your colleagues about diversity. How are you trying to show and really, talk the walk or walk the talk, whatever that expression is, about diversity? And how are you making that a theme in your conference?
Yeah, no, it's such an important topic. It's an interesting thing that you have to be very kind of careful and deliberate of. So it's a case of talking to the community, finding out who are the speakers and who are the individuals out there that have maybe got experiences that they want to share or they can share that would add value to the conversation. I remember in our in year one, you know, we did a women in tech panel, and we had Andrew on the panel from Dalhousie. And you know, some people said to me, "What, you can't have a man on a woman in tech panel?" But he is doing so much great work to encourage and to help the young ladies move into the tech sector. So you got to have the right people that are doing the things to make a difference and sharing experiences. So we're trying to be as thoughtful as possible. We're working with different organizations, understanding what are they doing, who's focused on it, so that those lessons can be shared. It's still a challenge, you know. I don't think the mix is ever right, but I think that that's a sign of having the right conversations that we think that way. You know, it can always be better, I think. It's just a case of you go through the process, you speak out, and you reach out to the people that you can, and keep working on it.
Yeah, being deliberate. I think being deliberate about it and finding a path is important. So this takes a lot of your time. You've got volunteers that help you. How do you get the support that you need from CompuGen to be able to lead this effort? Because it is a significant piece of work that you're doing here in the community, Calvino.
Yeah. CompuGen have always been great about it. And when I first mentioned it to my boss at the time, he was very supportive right out of the gate. And, you know, we've had Harry Zarek, the owner of CompuGen. He's spoken at one of them. He really, across the country, CompuGen tries to be involved and support the communities. So it aligns very nicely with the core values of the organization. And obviously, you know, from a business perspective, CompuGen likes to be associated with events and other organizations that are making an impact.
Sure.
In other parts of the country, they've invested in indigenous technology companies. They're part of a global women in tech initiative. They do a lot of work with schools. So it's a nice kind of rounded theme throughout the organization. So they are very, very supportive. Other than that, it's really community support, to be honest with you. There's a lot of the committee members. They do a lot of great work and support us.
So how do we get registered? Where do we look? Give us all the scoop, the social handles to make sure that we get this well on the air. And we'll certainly put it out in our posts once we get this on the air. So tell us, where do I find more information and buy my tickets?
Yeah, AtlanticTechSummit.com is the best place, the first place to go. Everything's on there. You can click on buy tickets now. Also, our LinkedIn page, which is just Atlantic Technology Summit, is a good hub for most of our information. We do have Instagram and Facebook and stuff too, but we kind of focus on that B2B community. So, that's the place to go. Check it out. There are student tickets available. There are virtual tickets available for those that can't be there in person. And obviously, we'd rather have you there in person. So there's in-person tickets as well.
Well, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to it again this year.
Yeah, it will be great. Looking forward to seeing you.
All right. Well, thanks very much. I really appreciate you taking the time, Calvino, and I wish you the very best.
Thank you very much,
Kathy. I know
the
effort. I know how hard this is. I wish for good weather and all of those things in Atlantic Canada. That's very important.
Absolutely.
Thanks a million.
Take care, Kathy. Have a good one.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it, everybody. Another Tech Talks in the books. And I want to say thank you, Calvino, for spending time on the podcast today. Learning more about your background, about the organization you work for, CompuGen, and your journey to Halifax and Atlantic Canada was such a great way to start our discussion. And then, of course, we transitioned to the upcoming Atlantic Tech Summit. I'm excited to be part of the talent panel at the summit, so thank you very much for that invitation happening in Halifax on November 16th. If you have a look at the agenda, you'll see that the day is filled with a wide variety of content, as Calvino mentioned, and it's sure to have something for anyone interested in learning more about the tech workforce or industry. Community building is really important, and Calvino has been doing this successfully with the Atlantic Tech Summit. Be sure to find out more at AtlanticTechSummit.com. See you in Halifax on November 16th. And as always, thanks for joining us on Tech Talks with Kathy Simpson, and we'll see you soon.